Perspective can be helpful. It can help us enter more deeply into the truth of reality and to pick up on how things all tie together. And there can be a perspective, a sweeping wide one, to see how everything is before us. I think also there can be that kind of zoom in onto a focused look at things, to see them in their detail and what's really happening there. And so what I'd like to do is briefly present and offer a perspective that I think can help us meditate on the passion of our Lord, both today, this Sunday, but also as it unfolds over the Holy Week ahead. And I think what that'll do is then also give us a perspective on our own lives, especially that reality as being Christians. So if you zoom out to have that wide perspective, what I'd like to propose is that the whole Passion account, this great suffering of Jesus, the physical pain, the humiliation, the abandonment, all of this, all of these hardships, what they are in reality is they are the birth pangs of salvation. Jesus himself describes his hour of trial this way. He says in John 16, "When a woman is in labor, she is in anguish because her hour has arrived. But when she has given birth to a child, she no longer remembers the pain because of her joy that a child has been born into the world. So you also are now in anguish. But I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you." Birth pangs can be very severe, but something extremely important is happening in the midst of them at that moment. The same is true in the sufferings of our Lord. In our second reading, the beautiful passage of St. Paul to the Philippians, he speaks about this, how Jesus humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Now consider that the fact that God would take on our nature, that the Son of God would go through all of this, I think it points to the incredible need that we actually have for a Savior, that Jesus would do all of this for us. You know, that the severity of a remedy may point to the gravity of an illness. If someone's rushed to the hospital and they crack the chest open, and it's not because they sprained their ankle or something like that. No, there's this desperate intervention needs to be made to save someone. And so in looking at all that Jesus undergoes, it points to how much we need a Savior. And in the Gospel of Luke, after the resurrection, and Jesus alluded that into our Passion account as well, he talks to his confused disciples on the road to Emmaus, pointing to the prophets, to the scriptures, and saying, "Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?" So all of this that Jesus undergoes are the birth pangs of salvation. Let that sink in, that they're for your salvation. Jesus underwent all of this for you. Now, also, what comes from birth pains? But of course, new life. Jesus is not only undergoing all of this to save us from sin, from eternal death, the disaster of that, but also to give us divine life, to give us a share in his glory. In the Passion account, we heard the anguished prayer of Christ confronting his passion in the garden. But yet, at the same time, he wanted to follow the will of the Father. And even earlier, talking to his disciples, he knew that new life would come about for them. At the close of the Last Supper in the Gospel of John, Jesus says, "Father, these disciples, they are your gift to me. I wish that where I am, they also may be with me, that they may see my glory that you gave me, because you loved me before the foundation of the world." And so he wants this new life and this glory, and he wants that for you. So that's, I think, the sweeping broad perspective that helps us see what's really going on here. But now maybe zooming in, a little tighter perspective, you could say. And that is the fact that we are not simply bystanders to all of this, kind of watching it unfold and, whew, glad that happened to him. You know, no, it's our lives as Christians, they take on the shape of the cross in order to share the resurrection. And so Jesus declares to his disciples that they themselves will go through birth pangs. At one point earlier in the Gospel of Matthew, when he talks about the tumult that will come in the world at the coming of the kingdom, the hardship that disciples must pass through, he notes this: all of these are the beginning of labor pangs. And so we have our own birth pains of salvation that the Lord leads us through. Now, maybe some of those pains in our life, those sufferings, well, we have to admit that they can be self-inflicted by our choices, by our failures to follow the Lord, by our sins and foolishness. But also, there's pain that can inflict us from beyond, illness that can overtake us, and catastrophes, and the things others might do to us, unfair as all that might be. But yet again, all of this we can see is these pains illuminated, accepted in faith. These can be the birth pangs for new life that God wants to give you. As this is being worked out in each of our lives, in the particularity of our lives and God's love for us. So after our beautiful second reading from Philippians, where he gives that beautiful depiction of Christ's humble obedience all the way to death on a cross and then his glorification. Right after that, he says to the Philippians this: work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. My brothers and sisters, do not miss out on the graces that God is offering you right now, which perhaps you couldn't even be aware of, let alone receive, if they hadn't come through the presence of birth pains and the cross in each of our lives. Jesus, he leads the way in his own passion. He has gone before us as our head. He has shown this to us. And also, he is with us in our own journey. And so for an action that I can invite you to, a zooming in for each of our lives, is look at your present life. What is there? Look at your history and pray about how the different moments of Holy Week are part of God's answer and work in your life. And looking at Holy Thursday, how Jesus gives this incredible gift of himself to us, even in the midst of the betrayal underway, of how he is with his disciples, teaching them, showing them humility through that incredible washing of his feet and that call to charity, and then going out into darkness and into this abandonment. All of these things can be shafts of light on our own experiences. And then on Good Friday, the ordeal of his passion and what he suffers and suffers willingly for us. Again, this can open up, you know, the things that are going on in my life, how the Lord is there, what he invites me into. And then, of course, beyond that, then the Easter Vigil and Easter Sunday, God's great acceptance of what Jesus has done, and the power, the grace of God at work in the glory of Jesus' resurrection that then ushers in this new life he wants to give to us. Certainly letting that reality, that life, that joy the world cannot take away, as Jesus says, after that birth, letting that be present in the midst of our struggles and suffering, our pains, our history. And then as you pray with these things and understand your own part in the birth pains of salvation, I encourage you to the Lord, express your faith. Express your hope in Him. Express your charity, your love for Him. Saint Francis of Assisi, back when he was praying deeply to seek direction in his life, to understand what God's holy and true command was for him, he would meditate upon Jesus on the cross, meditate upon the crucifix. He had a beautiful prayer in which he would say, "Most high, glorious God, enlighten the darkness of my heart and give me true faith, certain hope, and perfect charity. Give me perception and knowledge, O Lord, to see how the Lord indeed was at work with him and to enter into that deeply in faith, hope, and charity." The Palm Sunday of the Passion of the Lord today shows the unfathomable lengths that God has gone to save us and to give us new life. That good, that unwavering intention shown forth in the Paschal mystery, that love, that intention for us, that commitment to us, it is still true today and for each one of us. And so let us welcome the Lord more deeply into our lives, into our Jerusalem, that He may do that deep work with us for our salvation.